From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Badatum. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to brand new on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Hey, hey, welcome into the program. This is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard as we are live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Coming up today over the next 3 hours, Josh Applebaum will join the show, VSiN sports betting analyst. A couple of games to look at this week in the NFL with him. Professional bettor Matt Gratz in studio. He was involved in the Super Bowl futures draft with you, Pauly, in the blackjack tournament over the weekend. Good dude. Does this for a living. We'll find out why he took the Lions, picking 11th overall in that draft. Ian Eagle on the show, the best to do it. Play-by-play announcer. He is outstanding. We'll talk NFL with him. And Mike Palm, VSiN host, VP of Circa Casino, right here, coming up in studio. Well, sometimes this happens on the show where, it's not very often, but we just like, okay, scrap what we were going to talk about in the first segment because stuff happened overnight. We will get to Carlos Correa flipping teams in a couple of minutes. For those of you who don't know what that is, stay tuned for sure. How about this? As of half an hour ago, this is sad news, and I can't believe that this is, you know, it actually happened.
You have to wake up to it if you're a Steeler fan. And yeah.
Franco Harris passed away at the age of 72. This, again, it just came down minutes ago. I'm trying to do the math in my head, Pauly, on how many Steelers fans I personally know who are going to be waking up in the next hour, two, three, 4 hours and get this news, and their entire day, week will be completely destroyed. They're going to be devastated. This is also a couple of days before the 50th anniversary of the Immaculate Reception. Of course, we have that anniversary game coming up on Christmas Eve between the Steelers and the Ravens.
How about that? 3 days before, right? They're going to honor him, and you have the 50-year anniversary. Never easy to lose a loved one, and it stinks. But then also, when it's right before the holidays, too. Oh, so now it's going to, if you're a family member or you're good friends with Franco Harris, it's going to change how you think about and how you look at Christmas now, too, when you lose a dear friend a couple days before the holidays. So I cannot believe his jersey wasn't retired. How can that be?
Here's the tweet from Janelle Hall, who works at WTAE in Pittsburgh. Just days before, the Steelers planned to retire Franco Harris's number 32 jersey. Sources confirmed the stunning and tragic news that Franco has died. The news comes 2 days before the 50th anniversary of the Immaculate Reception, 72 years old. That first sentence?
Yeah.
If somebody would have said, how much do you want to bet that Harris's number is retired or isn't retired with the Steelers, I would say, every penny. Here, take it. Every penny that I've ever had in my entire life, it's yours. Yeah. Of course it's retired.
They're a loyal organization. And with the Ronies, I can't.
I will fully admit that that's something that I don't track, and I have no idea, and I don't know how that operates.
Yeah, I don't pay attention to that stuff either, but that's bizarre. But then again, look how Jerry Jones does stuff with the Cowboys, too, and how he treats it.
Oh, right. Man.
Well, sometimes there's a jersey retirement, there's a ring of fame or a ring of honor stuff with that, too. Some teams do it, so it's convoluted and weird. Oh. But terrible news.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Four-time Super Bowl champ. Super Bowl MVP. 1972 Offensive Rookie of the Year. He has a NFL Man of the Year in there as well. Nine-time Pro Bowler. The accolades just are endless for this guy, and he's a legend. And, I mean, you're exactly right. With the timing of this, with Christmas right around the corner, and that game being played on Christmas Eve, it's nationally. Yeah. How big is this story locally in Pittsburgh? But nationally, this has been a big deal like all week. I've seen more video of the Immaculate Reception this week than I have in my lifetime, I think.
Yeah.
Get
yeah.
ready. Here it comes, the 50th anniversary. Yeah. So it's like, yeah.
Janet Jones has no idea what you're talking about.
yeah. I'm sorry.
So, yeah. Yep.
Oh, boy.
That'll be tough on Saturday night.
Well, and here's, too, when you think about the most public teams or the most popular teams in the NFL, I mean, Cowboys are America's team. Right behind Dallas, it's like Pittsburgh and Green Bay. And those are the three mm-hmm. most popular teams. So when a guy goes.
Yep. Yep. And the other news, and we're waking up. Cohen does not care.
No.
He doesn't give two new. I mean, this. Correa is supposed to be introduced with the Giants. He fails the physical. Cohen comes in, swoops in, and gives him 12 for 315. He's going to play third base. The payroll is going to be $500 million this year with the Mets. The tax bill is going to be over $100 million. Now they're rumored to get, they're interested in Hendricks in the bullpen. So he has signed Verlander, Robertson, Quintana, Senga. Be more guys. He gave Lindor 10 for 340, by the way, not too long ago. So you're looking at a $500 million payroll with the Mets. And I can't say he's done. I mean, between the moves they made in the bullpen to bring in Verlander, you added three good starting pitchers. Bye-bye DeGrom. I'm not paying that. And now, because of what happened in San Francisco, now you get Correa.
Yeah. So Correa, evidently, he passes physical with the Giants after signing a 13-year deal with that team for more money than this. And after that happened, the Mets can...
fail the physical.
What did I say?
You said pass.
Sorry, yeah, he obviously failed the yeah. physical with the Giants. Now he has to come and pass the physical with the Mets, and I'm sure that this is...
Well, did they even care?
Every doctor can look the other way if you want. I just say, he could come in and say, he's passing, no matter what.
Well, one of our favorite TV shows is Billions, but this is, what if Bobby Axelrod would own a pro sports team? And in the show, he's close to buying the Giants, and he just... I mean, this guy doesn't care.
I wonder if you could go back and ask Cohen and like give him the truth serum. I know... the overall length of the contract to DeGrom was outrageous. But if you could go back to him and say, if you could offer DeGrom 2 years for $100 million right now, knowing that he would sign, would you do it?
No.
I bet he would say yes.
I'd round Verlander anyways.
No. He'd bring them both. He'd do both.
Well, okay, yeah. Well.
Why not? Two for 100 is nothing to him. Then you could have DeGrom, Verlander, and Scherzer going into the season.
Correa, 12 for 315. Nemo, 8 for 162. Diaz, 5 for 102. Verlander, 2 for 90. Senga, 5 for 75. Quintana, 2 for 26. Ottavino, 2 for 14. Robertson, 1 for 10. Could get Hendricks, too.
Yeah, so they brought in Ottavino, brought in Robertson, and they could get Hendricks already for that back, back into the bullpen to lead into Diaz. Yeah.
They're 12-1 to win the World Series in some spots.
That number is going to be...
Like he won't make a move at the deadline either.
Oh yeah, you can find even like universally you can find 10-1 on this team, or in a lot of states you can find 10-1 because it's dipped down to like 8 in that neighborhood or below. I will tell you this: at DraftKings, the Mets are 10-1, the Dodgers are 7-1. It's not Christmas yet, so you're going to be tying your money up for a long, long time. But if you're going to make a move right now, would you rather not have the Mets at 10 than the Dodgers at 7? I would.
Yeah. Absolutely. The other thing is, it's like, well, I want to win, and I don't care about money. Like remember the Padres offered all these guys the most money, Judge and others, and they just said no and went to other places.
Uh-huh.
So this is a bonanza with Cohen, and what a shocking turn of events here for the Mets the Giants.
Yeah, look at their lineup again.
Yeah, McNeil's hitting sixth.
Where's the where like when you can look at like a quote easy out? Is it Vogelbach can hit a bunch of home runs? And then you get to a Navarez at number 9, but where's the easy out? You can go. It's going to go. Marte, Nimmo, Marte, Lindo, Alonso, Correa, McNeil is the top 6.
Yeah, perfect storm, right? Win 100 games, can't win the division, can't win a playoff series, and he's ticked off, and he wants to win in the worst way.
So what happens if they bow out early again this year? What does next offseason look like? Guys, take a seat. Hold my beer from a year ago because get out of the way. Ohtani? Yeah, we're bringing in Ohtani and like three other guys.
Yeah. Well, we just saw with the Warriors, though, in the NBA, what they pay with the tax. And it's if you get an owner who doesn't care and wants to win, so be it.
Look at the odds board right now. Oh, the National League at the very top. Dodgers, Padres, with what they've done. Actually, between those two teams, who do you like more?
Right.
I'd say that's pretty close because the Padres still have a pretty good pitching staff.
Yeah, but I'll take my chances with Verlander and Scherzer. Scherzer's been unbelievable in his career, especially in big games. It just didn't work out against the Padres, but that passed up. But I'll take my chances with Verlander, Scherzer in the playoffs.
What do the Padres look like when they get Tatis back?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And this team, obviously, they're not scared to do somehow, some way. The Padres now are like, Step away, Dodgers. You're not going to believe what we're about to do. The Braves, by the way, 10-1.
Yeah.
They've locked in every young player that they have. The Phillies are suddenly the fifth best team in the National League.
Went to the World Series. They made some good moves.
They did.
They got Turner. Yep.
They're the fifth best team on the board.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Should we just say the National League Central has no chance next year?
Yes.
The East and the West are just going to take over?
This is ridiculous. I can't believe this.
We're going to have five?
He has spent $800 million in the offseason, this guy. This is something.
And he fully admits it.
He's a
Mets fan.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Let's dance.
Yeah.
How about, will five teams in the National League win 100 games? Can we get a prop up on that? It's not going to happen, but I'm just saying, what would the odds be on something like that?
There you see. Look at the free agent additions. Oh, my God. The amount of money here. Look at this. Holy cow.
Late last night, this totally flipped.
Big losers, Giants. Made a good offer. Thought you had Judge. Nope. Big offer. You think you have Correa? Nope.
Mm-hmm.
Dodgers couldn't get him either. And now we're going to play third base with the Mets. Pretty good.
By the way, there's that note, though, too, because what's going to happen in San Francisco? I mean, this happened like right before midnight. How about the people waking up in San Francisco in three, 4 hours?
This just happened as well. Yes, absolutely. Bowl games roll on. Lace up your cleats. Bet Rivers online book. College bowl season. Back at it today with the Jaguars in Western Kentucky, South Alabama, and Western Kentucky. Log in every single day. Receive a bet on behalf of Bet Rivers when you place a wager of at least $25. Bet Rivers, all the latest odds, lines, and boosts. Create the perfect game day experience. Head to BetRivers.com or download the app today. Get on the action at Bet Rivers. It's a whole new game.
Up next, we'll recap the betting action from last night in Win Some, Lose Some. And what a call on this show yesterday. A 13-point dog won outright. That's coming up here on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Welcome back, and what's new on VSiN.com? The Week 16 games that the pros are targeting, College Bowl analysis, trends, and picks, and a great Christmas Day schedule in the NBA with good handicapping angles as well. Get up there, VSiN.com. The great Ian Eagle joins us now. For my money, the best play-by-play guy out there, and he'll be on the Nets and the Warriors tonight. But I'll tell you, you had a great job with the Jets and the Lions, and now you have a huge game Saturday. Dress warm, by the way, but the Patriots against the Bengals. Appreciate the time. Happy holidays. What do you expect out of this Patriot team now after you lose like that?
Oh, man. I got home from the Jets game, and I settled in. I started watching all the 4 o'clock games. Obviously, that Cincinnati game was the featured one against Tampa Bay. But then I start bopping around, and I see that New England and the Raiders will go to overtime. I'm like, oh, all right, I'll get over there. I'll get ready for overtime. I'll check it out. I have the Patriots the next week. And I literally turned as this was happening. And it took me a moment to try to gather my equilibrium. I didn't know what the hell was going on.
Yeah.
And I finally figured out that they ran a draw play and then complete bedlam and calamity took place. I don't know if we're ever going to see anything like that again. You know, sometimes a moment hits and then it gains steam as the years go by where you say, man, that was crazy. This one, you know, it's going to stick. The Las Vegas lateral will be a part of our lives in some form for the rest of our existence. That was crazy, bonkers, bananas.
Yep. And I think it was so far over the top with how nuts it was. I think coaches are going to start to crack down in this league and say, look, it never works. It's worked like once or twice. That's it. If you do this, like, you're cut. Yep. Like, you can't do it anymore. Not for me as the coach.
No, I think you make a good point. And look, we understand that when guys start freestyling, it doesn't matter who the head coach is. It could be the greatest head coach in NFL history. In this case, it was Bill Belichick. At that point, instincts took over, and Jacoby Myers is a guy that the Patriots have leaned on a great deal. This is not a fringe player. This is someone that developed under them. He understands what they're all about. In the moment, his own recognition, he just did the absolute worst thing you could possibly do, is throw the ball backwards. High school quarterback, mind you, throw the ball backwards directly to the opponent. And Ramondre Stevenson, if he goes down, that's a chance to just pad your numbers. That's the way I always look at it in those situations. That's a pad your numbers. Okay, we're going to overtime. No one's even going to talk about the fact that he gained 35 yards on the play because you move on. You move on to OT. It becomes a thing of the past. So, yeah, everything that you could possibly have done wrong in that play took place, and not just in a normal manner, in the most epic way possible.
You had an incredible finish with the Lions and Jets, and being in that area and working in that area. They play tomorrow. It's going to be Zach Wilson again. What is that like? It seems like the fans are just ready to turn on Wilson anytime he was for the first mistake, and because they know what the team and the fan base thinks of Mike White. How do you think this will go not only tomorrow, but maybe the rest of the year if it is Wilson, and who knows when we see White again with the injury in the ribs?
Yeah, more to that game tomorrow on radio with Jason McCourty. So I will be there. I've obviously done a bunch of Jets games this season. I do their preseason package, so I'm very familiar with all the narratives from the start of the season to where we are right now. And it's taken a turn. It took a very heavy left turn at some point as the team was winning games. They went 5-2 in Zach's start. So they were winning, but you could feel a sentiment growing from the fan base that Zach wasn't the reason why. In fact, they were winning in spite of him. And when he goes to the bench and Mike White comes in and slings it, and now Jets fans are saying, that's it. That's the offense that they wanted to see. And Mike is very likable and is highly respected by his teammates and has a way about him that makes you feel like he's got command. And to me, that's really what it comes down to. It's that word. It's having command of the offense. And when Zach's been in there, it just doesn't feel like he has command. All of his plays are the ones that are off schedule, off kilter. Look, he is gifted in escaping pressure in the pocket and getting away and throwing across his body and making it happen. Highlights that we've seen from the likes of Brett Favre, but you still have to do the fundamental, rudimentary things to be a successful quarterback in the NFL. And that's been the tough part for him. Just the typical humdrum, throw a quick slant, seam route, out route, all these things that we come to expect that will be a part of an NFL quarterback's bag, really isn't. His stuff is different arm angles and out of the pocket, and I think the Jets are finding it frustrating. They're trying to figure out a way to make this thing work.
Yeah, well said. It's Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. The brilliant Ian Eagle, our guest right now, play-by-play guy, on many, many sports, as good as it gets. Okay, so you did mention that you're on the Bengals and Patriots this weekend from Foxborough. We have a list of six teams that we think can win the Super Bowl, and in any order, it goes Bills, Chiefs, Bengals, Eagles, 49ers, Cowboys. Do you think the Super Bowl winner comes out of that group, or do you need to add maybe a team or two, such as the Ravens, Dolphins, maybe somebody else?
No, I like what you have. That would be my exact list as well, and I think there is a drop-off. The only thing I would throw in there, the only caveat, is a really hot quarterback like we saw last year with Burrow in the playoffs. And the only guy I would even begin to entertain as someone that, despite what the team has done this year and the mediocrity that we've seen and the inconsistency, would be Herbert. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah.
If you just get a hot quarterback that is in some type of zone that can plow through some opponents, that would be the only other aspect. But no, I think the six teams you have, Cincinnati obviously being the one that I'm going to see this weekend. I saw them earlier in the year. The week one game, which I'm sure the two of you remember, and some people now when I bring it up will remember, it was the kicking debacle. It was the snapping debacle. And everybody walked away from that game thinking, all right, it's not a big deal for Cincinnati. They'll bounce back. They'll be fine. Well, it happens again the next week where they don't live up to the expectations. And that, amazingly enough, the NFL is a long season, but that was enough for some people to get off the bandwagon after two weeks.
Yeah, you're right.
They're really good. They're really balanced. I think they're opportunistic on defense. Maybe they don't have the biggest names. They're a little banged up on defense right now as well. But if they're healthy, I wouldn't want to play them.
No.
I would want no part of them in the AFC.
Absolutely. About 2 minutes left, Nets-Warriors tonight. How strange has this NBA season been? and the fact that the Warriors have been so bad on the road, they're not even in the play-in round if they started today. They're out.
Yeah, bizarre, completely bizarre. And I'll say this only because you guys live in this world more than I do. The Nets, for whatever reason, and there is no rhyme or reason to it, they have benefited a great deal playing teams without their key players in that particular week or month.
Uh-huh.
They've just been that team, and they continue to benefit. Golden State tonight is not going to have Curry, not going to have Thompson. Wiggins is a question mark. DiVincenzo, question mark. Jermichael Green, question mark. Go on and on and on. And this has happened on a number of occasions. Look, you play who's on your schedule, that's it. There's no other addition to that argument. But the Nets have certainly been advantageous in that particular part of the equation.
Mm-hmm. Great stuff, Ian. We love having you on the program. Happy holidays to you and your family. Thanks for popping on today. We really appreciate it as always.
Yeah, ditto, guys. Always great to hear you. Keep it up, and we'll do it again in 2023, right around the corner.
Sounds good. Thank you.
See ya.
By the way, that point spread tonight, the net here's, I mean, to his point, they're catching the Warriors without, you know, many of their best players. The Nets are laying 12.5, and the total is 222.5 in that game. Some other numbers. We talked about the Celtics. They are the best team to the over at home this year. That total, there was one book here in Las Vegas that's not open yet. They had 231.5. It's not. It's moving. It's on the move right now. It's up to 233.5 for the total. No surprise there. And then we do have a total tonight with the Lakers and the Kings almost touching 240 right now.
Bill Simmons was making the case that Toronto should blow it up and start trading some of these guys because of how bad they're playing. And then, right? Toronto, 13-18. They've lost 8 of 10. A big disappointment. They're the 10 seed. I mean, they're still, they'd still be in.
Right.
If you look, and then Chicago, it's been a disappointment. Washington got off to a hot start. I'll tell you, it's there for Orlando. Orlando's two back. I mean,
they can sneak in.
I mean, that's one team that they're playing good ball, right? And then just to look at how everything's bunched up in the West, too. But it is Golden State under 500, Lakers under 500. Dallas under 500, Minnesota big disappointment, a game over 500, weird season.
Up next, are we on something or onto something? The best gift to give during the holiday season involves sports betting.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Another bowl game. Get up to Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook. Bowl season, hot and heavy. Every single day, receive a bet on behalf of Bet Rivers when you place a wager of at least $25. Great menu, good house specials, the latest odds, lines, and boosts create the perfect college game day experience. Head to BetRivers.com or download the app today to get in on the action at Bet Rivers. It's a whole new game.
Are they on something?
Is this AFC forever?
Or are they on to something?
I feel like a slice of butter. Melting on top of a big old pile of flapjacks.
This is Follow the Money.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
Here's Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard.
You want to get high?
You cannot curse or do off-color humor at a eulogy or a wake. Am I on something or onto something?
Oh, no, you're the one who's on something. I want that.
Really?
Yeah, because...
Minshew dropped an F-bomb yesterday.
Good for him.
Okay.
Because what's worse, right, than being in that spot?
Got to keep it light.
You want somebody to go up there and tell one funny story about something. Make me smile. Tears might be running down from everybody there. Make them laugh. Provide that moment of just like humor that could really like lift the room for a minute.
How about a wedding toast?
Well, that's who knows. I mean,
if someone you get...
Best man might be annihilated, three sheets to the wind.
Oh, I got to hear stories there. I bet we can do an hour on that, just asking for feedback on that, where the best man went wrong. He had too much to drink. Let me tell you a story here about Mitch. I mean, we were...
Yeah. I got some doozies. I'm looking at... no, not right now.
No.
Not in the mic. Please, stop.
Okay, so you say it's okay.
I think it is.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's okay to track scores from the NFL or a bowl game on your phone if you're attending church on Christmas Eve. On something or onto something?
I'm not the guy to ask.
I'll put yourself in those shoes for a minute. Pretend.
That was, I don't think that's appropriate.
Okay.
Pulling the phone out while he's getting into it?
Sure.
Name of the Father, the Son.
Saturday night, you go?
Well, I can't remember. Is it 2002 the last time I went to church? Apparently, it's been a big problem for a long time with the phones going off, too. With the ringing and all this business. And
yep.
I think there has to be an announcement before the Mass and everything. But that was...
Yep. So...
I don't think you can do that. I think there's... It's 50 minutes. Once you get communion, you can step it out of there.
They got games going on all on Christmas Eve.
You
got an anthem. I went there with... she was my girlfriend then. Now my wife. She wanted to go to church. I'm like, okay, fine. Whatever you think. At the time, huge bet on Hawaii in the Hawaii Bowl. Huge bet. I'm breaking out my phone like this, and he's reading from, you know, Matthew 3, whatever,
right, sure.
And I'm mother bleeping Hawaii. They had 6 turnovers in the first half.
Okay.
You got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
So maybe that was a mistake by, I think people may have heard me.
Who
but,
knows
you know.
With the Father. I mean, the priest, he used to call people out, too, about stick around for the whole thing. I don't like when you guys leave after communion. I mean, we're ready to kick off, Father.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Okay. How about this, then? Giving sports bets... such as cross-sport parlays as holiday gifts is the best idea anybody can come up with on something or on to something.
On to something. I like that. Yeah, you know, I still love what you did for the wedding gift when you gave the guy the chips and then the wife didn't like it. But
yeah,
it's like an
sent
incentive.
It back to me.
Yeah, an incentive to come visit and it's say you got something waiting for you when you do arrive. You got the chips and let's go, let's have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I've been doing it for almost 20 years now, giving this. It's a tremendous idea.
Oh, you've done it more on several occasions?
I do it almost every single year.
Good for you.
Every year I do this.
I'm with you, and I like that gift. That's a good gift idea, too. Parlay, future bet, whatever. In light of what happened Saturday, and we'll talk about this with Mike Palm coming up, if you were one of the 4 people, not only here, but across the country, who had the Vikings in Survivor, you got to come to Vegas and let it ride and see how this hot streak can continue. On something or onto something.
Well, you got to do whatever it is. Right. You're on something.
As Lombardi said, something. They wouldn't let O'Connell in the casino.
No, they look at his ID and say, no, you're not. You're barred.
Ty, you need to win. A tie does you no good as well. It's 33-0 in the second half. There's $6.1 million on the line. You advance? I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, of course it is.
Come out here, put a good amount of money on the game you like the most and play the tables and see how long this thing can go, this heater.
What if we have a solo winner or 2 winners and they each had the Vikings in that game?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, then
you
want
to talk about found money.
That's exactly what it is.
Right. Now, the enemy within, there's 14 left. He has 2 entries. He had Minnesota on one of them. I mean, imagine if this guy does it. And plus the position he's in as well and the advantage that he has. Cohen can ruin baseball by what he's doing, on something or onto something.
Okay, for those of you who missed it, this flipped overnight. Correa signed a 12-year deal with the Mets. He failed his physical in San Francisco yesterday.
So the payroll is $500 million. He has spent $800 million, and the Mets are not done.
Right.
They're going to add another pitcher and another bat,
yeah,
according to reports.
According to people who cover the team.
Yes.
But also, people who cover the team, people within the organization didn't know this was going to happen late last night. So it's bedlam going on. I will say this is, I like it because I think that this should be proving the point that I know this guy's got more money than anybody, but every team, every owner has more money than God. So they can go, like the A's and the Rays, the A's have been an abomination. That guy, their ownership group has billions. They won't spend any money. It's a joke with those other.
Yep.
So, yes, hopefully this will make other teams realize, well, we need to compete here. It's an arms race, and we need to spend as much money as possible.
This could only be a positive, I think.
Eventually, it could turn into a situation where, though, it's the Yankees, though. And so they spend every year, they get every free agent, and they win every single title if that happens. Right. That could be a bad thing. Okay, on that note, the Eagles can replicate their 2017 season when Nick Foles came out of the bullpen to win the Super Bowl on something or onto something.
Oh, boy. The NFC is... I'd only be concerned about San Francisco. You do have Mr. Irrelevant. I think it's a different situation because of how the offense works, and it's so much on Hurts running and his mobility. I mean, when he puts it in the belly of Sanders, and then he can either keep it, run, or dump it. That pass, and he's coming back now. That play to Goddard that they have?
Yeah.
Where it's wide open. It's going to get 15 yards every time.
Well, and how about the chemistry that he has with A.J.
And
Brown?
By the way, how A.J. Brown's come on, too. Yeah.
And in certain games, it's Devontae Smith that kills you.
Yeah.
I think it's too much this year.
I would agree. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm with you. The best showers of your life have occurred and will occur at a hotel on something or onto something.
Well, that's fact. You're onto something for sure. I'm staying at Circa this week.
It should be that way.
And I'm not, this is no exaggeration. You said when we went to Foxwoods last year, you said top five shower of your life.
Top three. Absolutely.
The room that I'm in right now at Circa, I cannot recall having a better shower in my life.
Right.
I did not want to leave.
The room you have, the head and the pressure, just bring it all three wrapped into one. I go the penthouse at Golden Gate, the suite at Golden Gate, Foxwoods. There was one in Cancun as well. I mean, you gotta just unleash hell with this. Hit me with it big, like
and here's
in
the
circus
thing.
With them.
This one, the pressure was perfect, and yet it wasn't like I found the perfect temperature. So it wasn't like an in between. Well, that's too hot. Now it's too cold. This was perfectly hot, and it wasn't like ripping the skin off my body, like coming down hot or that fast.
Good point about the temperature. Good point about the temperature. I mean, a lot of, even when you're at home, it's like, I need more hot. No, I can't get that.
I might go take another shower right after the show.
Yeah.
I might take three today. Unprecedented.
Yeah.
Their water bill is good. Derek's going to see the water bill next month. He's like, what the hell happened?
There should be a Super Bowl in a cold weather city every 3 years on something or onto something.
Oh, I'm a big fan of that idea.
There was split in New York.
You're
on
life.
But you're right. People were split on.
I don't know.
And the weather shouldn't decide the biggest game, or we get wet.
No, it's football. Sorry, okay. It's football. All right. Play it outside. Denver? Should Denver get a Super Bowl?
How good was Saturday night at the end?
Of course.
Coming down to Buffalo.
How about Buffalo gets a new stadium?
What's this all about now? People are you have to play in a dome in Buffalo. You can't do this anymore. I mean, where's this coming from? That's been the talk for 2 weeks nonstop on social media.
It's football weather, folks. Did you ever play snow football when you were younger?
Of course.
It was the best thing ever as a kid. Yeah. Nothing. Yeah. On sick days, we'd be like, okay, 10 kids coming over to the house. We're going to play snow football all day long.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you wanted to do. It's time now for the pro tip of the hour, and this is a perfect example to break this one out today.
Yep.
When news breaks overnight, like it did with the Mets, and Correa's on the move, and they signed him now, you need to be on board with looking at as many shops as possible. If you're okay with locking your money up on a future bet because you know the numbers are going to move, it happened overnight. The Mets, for example, here at Circa, they were 12-1 2 hours ago. They're 9-1 now. They're as low as 6-1 that I've seen.
Yep. 750 at DK, 8-1 at William Hill. As you mentioned, down 9-1 here, and the win total is 96 at some spots.
Yep. So it doesn't happen all the time. We rarely have breaking news like that to begin a show, but when it does, you know that, everybody's asleep. So books are going to adjust once the morning gets there. So that's the pro tip of the hour. Get one every single hour across every show right here on VSiN. And you can sort them by sport and by show at vsin.com for pro subscribers. Up next, Vice President, Circa Sports, Mike Palm in studio. We'll break down Circa Survivor, The Matrix coming up next. 14 entries remain, $6.1 million on the line. What do you do?
Money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome back. DraftKings Sportsbook, official sports betting partner of the NFL. This week, new customers can bet $5 and pocket 200 free bets instantly. Download the app. Use code VSiN when you sign up. Got to be 21. DraftKings.com for full details. Derek Stevens chiming in. I spent a lot of time making sure that the shower was great. I can't stand a hotel room with a shower with bad pressure, bad space, or temps that go up and down. And I have it top three. I think we have the same rankings as the best shower of our life.
Penthouse.
Right, Michael?
Penthouse.
Wednesdays with the maestro here.
Absolutely.
Mike Palman, studio.
Back.
Yeah, VP of Circa.
Welcome back.
First time in a couple of weeks.
Oh, yes.
I really appreciate it. Good morning, Mitch. Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Christmas Cove, Maine.
Oh,
our loyal and very, very relevant Nesson family. Santa Claus, Indiana. Peekaboo, Marquee. We see you. Noelleville, Ontario. Mm. Oh, Canada on Rogers Sportsnet. Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. We say good morning to AT&T. And Solvang, California. that little town nestled up in the hills there. What a Christmas spot that is. Sunrise over Spectrum.
The time that you spent on that alone,
Mitch,
this morning.
Mitch, I started at 8 p.m. last night.
Yeah.
Slept from 11:30 to 12:30. Went straight through here.
Is Slovenia a good spot? We considered going through. We were close. You must go. You must go.
When my father was still alive, they came out here in 06. We went to California and we went up to Solvang. He loved it. My mother loved it. My first wife loved it. It was tremendous.
Okay. We saw you were, this is not on the air, but we saw you last week and you predicted that the Commanders would be the number one most popular team in Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
They were.
Good call.
Did not go well. 16 people had them. $6.1 million on the line here at Circus Survivor. It's down to 14 teams. So you weren't surprised by that at all. And they just laid a dot, an egg.
You know, I go on with the Michael Lombardi on the Lombardi line on Thursday mornings, and I predicted 15 or more Commanders picks, or Commodores as he calls them, and he said, oh no, you can't do that. You can't, that's not a good pick. I said, there's nothing left. What do we know? We know four people will take the Packers on Monday night that have them left. We know two people will take the Chiefs. And then what do we know?
Right.
We knew there would be four Vikings.
Oh, my God.
Four Vikings and a Browns. I wouldn't have known
that, was there risk. How about that pick?
I wouldn't have known that there would have been five other picks, you know, on Saturday to get through. And then, yeah, the Commanders didn't get there. So, I mean, we went for 7 weeks. We went from 110 to 70. And then in 2 weeks, we went from 70 to 14. Now, $420,000 is the implied value of each ticket right now.
And it should be 10. It should be down to 10.
Yep.
But now the great timing, maestro. Now the insanity begins.
Okay.
Paul made a comment a couple weeks ago, and he said, if the Texans beat the Titans on Christmas Eve, this thing might be over. So let's just go through the avail. And Gil's done a great job of breaking this down in his show that follows this, a numbers game. Chiefs are a 10-point favorite. None of the 14 have them available.
Mm-hmm.
Bills are a 9-point favorite. Nobody has them available.
Okay.
49ers, 7. Nobody available.
Yep.
Ravens, 8. Nobody available. Cowboys up to 5 now off the Hurts news. Nobody has them.
Yep.
13 of the 14 have the Titans as a 5-point home favorite against the Texans. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Two have the Bengals, which I like. 3.5 at Patriots. But they've saved them this long for the million. Are they going to use them now? Here's what I think the sneaky pick will be again, the Vikings. The Vikings against the Giants, they're 3.
I made a note of that too.
But don't you have to get something other than the Titans in case they lose? You could win $6 million or it'd be down to two people.
Right.
I mean, isn't that game theory right now?
I also wrote this one down. 14 have the Lions.
They do. Ooh, 14 have the Steelers in the late game against the Raiders.
Now that is interesting because of the timing of the game.
Yeah, you're the last game of the week.
If I'm the enemy within, I would use that game because he has two of the 14 left. Obviously, he'll take Tennessee. So if he loses that, I mean, who knows, right? So it's while all these other people out, then you could play the Saturday night game and see where you're at as well.
He's the only one with multiple entries.
Yep,
under the same name, and then the two that have still eligible for the bonus. 6 have the Browns.
I was going to bring them up. Too.
2-point favorite.
Yeah.
At home against the Saints.
Yeah.
I don't think you can play that Jets Jacksonville game tomorrow night? I don't think anybody will get involved with that.
Yeah.
So it becomes very, very interesting. Obviously, you're probably going to have 10 Titans, I would guess.
Let me ask you guys this. The entry without Tennessee, and there's only one person again without Tennessee, they have to use either Detroit, Jacksonville, or Pittsburgh.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Good catch.
So what do they do?
Oh.
Do you save it for Pittsburgh?
Well, I would take the Lions, but because of the timing, I agree with Paul. Because you will know where you're at. You will know the result of the Titans, and possibly if anybody goes out with the Vikings or Bengals in front of you.
I don't think 13 will be on Tennessee, but imagine that scenario.
No,
all this person who doesn't have Tennessee, if all 13 use Tennessee and they lose, and he's got Pittsburgh on Christmas Eve.
What do you make the over-under a number of Tennessee picks? I have a number in my head.
Well, they are not playing well.
And the Texans should have won the last 2 weeks.
8.5.
I said 9.5.
Okay.
9.5.
Yeah.
Little juice to the under.
Yeah. But I will not be surprised if, let's say, we have 11 on them, and it's only two people who are hoping that they go down and they lose.
Okay.
I would be shocked, though, if there's 13 on them.
So would I.
Yeah.
Now, how about the entries the following day on Christmas?
You have that written down?
I do. The 11 people have the Chargers.
Okay. That's Monday night.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
6 have the Broncos. 5 have the Buccaneers. 5 have the Dolphins. but six entries have already used the Buccaneers and the Dolphins.
Hello. And that's the enemy within. The enemy within does not have Tampa Bay or Miami.
On both selections.
Yes.
So he has the Chargers on both, though.
Yeah. Yes. So now my question to you is, if there was ever a time to use the option?
Go Chargers and Colts?
You could, yeah.
Does he have Colts available?
Yes, he does. He also has Denver and Rams
available. I guess it depends what happens Saturday, too. Are you still at 14?
Right.
Going into Sunday. I mean, it's very, now it becomes personal, right? When you're finally down to this number, just a little more than 10, now they all become human beings that we get to learn and know exactly what they have left.
Right. Okay, but do you do that? So the one person who has two entries left, do you go both sides in one game and burn what your tickets are worth?
You know, it's interesting to do that, but you can also look at what the money lines are on the other games and parlay them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because if you play the Monday night game, you're going to know on Sunday going in who the picks are on Sunday morning. You know, you can make that money line parlay of those teams, right? I said that the five people that went through on Saturday with the Vikings and the Browns should have bet $40,000 on the Commanders, right? To pick up 20.
Yes.
They lose the 40, but their ticket went from 200,000 to 420. So you blow 40, but you picked up $225,000 in value. And if they wouldn't have, you're still at 30, you've more than paid for your whole outlay on the season.
Okay. So if Tennessee wins this week, how long does the contest go? It's going to go all the way through the end, right? And then I guess how many entries do you think will actually be there in the very end? Can you make a number on that?
Well, you never, there could be madness. Watch the Colts show up on
I understand.
The 26th. I mean,
but I think the Tennessee game this week is the key to the whole thing.
Yeah.
If you had all picks available for Sunday, Monday, who would you take? The Buccaneers are the biggest favorite on the road against Arizona.
I can't trust that pick. Really? If it's McSorley, though? If it's McCoy, I see where you're coming from.
That's a bad team. The Buccaneers are a really bad team. They're really bad.
Yes, they are.
They are really god-awful bad. Did you watch that third quarter?
Yeah.
Did you watch that? Might have been the worst quarter I've seen in a decade.
Mitch is right. It was one of the worst halves of football you're ever going to see. If you had them all available.
They were minus 988 when they went up 17-0. Yeah. I was looking because I was thinking about, do you take a shot on Cincinnati? They played so well.
Right, and they just
maybe Tampa
half.
Bay doesn't score the second half.
Yeah, you want to trust Miami, but Green Bay season.
Well,
these
are elimination games for both these teams in my mind.
Yeah. Well, Miami could still beat the Patriots.
They could, but they've lost three in a row, Paul.
Yeah. Yeah. And I live and breathe. I would not be surprised if the Chargers lose Monday.
Yeah.
This is what
that would
do.
Be the most shocking of it all would to be. Me.
When do the picks have to be in?
Yeah, I believe I believe you go midnight Saturday night for the Sunday Monday slate.
Okay.
Okay, so they got to be in by midnight the next day.
Yeah, Pacific, I believe. Yeah. That's what we did with the how we do the Thanksgiving week as well.
Okay.
The night before.
So proxies are going to be potentially, or are people going to be in town, you think? It's Christmas, though, so how does that operate?
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be. They have to be here if they got, I mean, there's only so many people left.
Right. I think they have to make their holiday plans around coming to Las Vegas so they can be in a position to hedge and take, you know, whatever.
Yeah, unless you can get down somewhere. Where you live.
Where you know that the books are going to take that money.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing, too. Another pro tip. If you're still in this thing, you're probably pretty good if you're remaining. But I would say you need to reach out to the books in advance of where you live and say, here's a situation. How much can I get down?
Well, it's a little bit like the story of this kid that had the ticket.
That's right.
$26. Mm-hmm. And he was here, right, with Bleacher Report, the kid from New York. 26 to win 570. And he needed France in the final. And what was he going to do? He asked us, can he hedge 100,000, get this and that. At the end of the day, he took probably the best possible option. The cash out for 270, 278 or whatever it was. He drove to Arizona to FanDuel or DraftKings, to Arizona border and took the cash out option, which I think was a smart thing to do.
You would have done the same thing?
Yeah,
but I liked Argentina a lot too, and he had France. If I had Argentina, maybe it's only 200,000.
So the $26 bet. That's
don't
the
you,
other
wouldn't
thing.
You take 200 if
yes,
they gave it to you?
Yeah.
I mean, you have to think of that as well.
Uh-huh.
And how's he going to get the 100,000 together as a hedge?
Right.
Right?
Right.
Will we take it? Yeah. But you have to be credit worthy in order for us to give you, you know,
right.
take the marker for it.
There's a process there.
The $26 parlay better.
Yeah.
Well right.
said.
Right.
You know? Yeah. An explanation.
He was here. Derek goes, I talked to the kid. I said, where'd you see him? He goes, With his phone, he was videotaping the draft of the Holiday Invitational. He stood there the whole time and taped it. And Derek went up to him afterwards.
How about Paulie Howard getting the Chiefs at number 5 overall?
Fell right into his lap. Yeah. All hard work, though. Got no cards the whole weekend.
Sure, skill.
Is that a snap call for you, too, taking the Chiefs 5th overall?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Oh,
yeah.
And the Eagles 3rd, too, when the Eagles fell to 3rd, I think.
Wow, yeah. Sure.
Up next, you haven't been on the show in a while. The biggest gaffes of the previous
3 weeks.
Oh, boy.
It's an all-NFL edition.
God, can't wait. No hyperbole coming up next.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from The Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook, gear up. It's College Bowl season, another game today. Every single day you get a bet on behalf of Bet Rivers when you place a wager of at least $25. Latest odds, lines, and boosts create the perfect college game day experience. Head to BetRivers.com or download the app today to get in on the action. It's a whole new game. Let's go!
No bias.
You will respect my authority.
No pulled punches.
Your wife cheated on you because you lost sight of who you are as a man, as a husband.
No agenda.
There is no fear in this dojo.
This is no hyperbole.
This is the best part of the week.
Here's the maestro, Mike Baum.
All right, number 5, a long Saturday afternoon. The greatest collapse in NFL history surely deserves a spot on this week's countdown. Is the Colts 39-36 overtime loss to the Vikings on Saturday afternoon after leading 33-0 at halftime comes in at number 5. The Colts scored 33 points in only 6 possessions in the first half, aided by both a special teams touchdown and a defensive touchdown. In the second half, the Colts had 9 possessions and managed only 3 points. The Vikings closed the game on a 29-0 run in the game's final 16.5 minutes to send it to overtime. The Colts' 9 second-half possessions resulted in a field goal, 5 punts, a turnover on downs, a fumble, and a kneel down to end the second half. Matt Ryan threw 6 incomplete passes in the second half, stopping the clock, including 2 incomplete passes on a 3-and-out with under 8 minutes to go, leading by 15. With under 3 minutes to go and up 8, Zach Moss ran out of bounds to stop the clock. And facing 4th-and-1 from the Vikings 36 with 2:31 to go and the Vikings out of timeouts, Jeff Saturday passed on a 54-yard field goal to go up by 11. Chase McLaughlin was 5-for-5 on field goals, including hitting from 48 and 52 earlier in the game. Instead, he chose to sneak the Camp Cretaceous version of Matt Ryan, who came up short. And on the very next play, Kirk Cousins hit Dalvin Cook for 64 yards, and the game was tied. In overtime, after stopping the Vikings, the Colts gained 2 first downs and had the ball at their own 43 with 2:23 left. But the drive stalled, and the Vikings went 60 yards in 6 plays, kicking the game-winning 40-yard field goal as time expired. Sadly for Jeff Saturday, he can't play the Raiders every week.
Yes.
Number 4, Butchers and Bakers and Survivor Carnage Makers. Thursday Night Football, December 8th, Raiders at Rams. Baker Mayfield, cut by the Panthers on Monday, signed by the Rams on Tuesday, a cross-country flight and a short practice on Wednesday, and he takes the reins for the defending Super Bowl champs on Thursday night against the Raiders. As expected, the game was mostly a one-sided affair, and it took an amazing confluence of mind-numbing plays by the Raiders to give the game away. Let's begin right before halftime. With the Raiders leading 13-3, they faced 3rd-and-5 from the Rams 10 with under a minute to go. Derek Carr got happy feet in the pocket, climbed up his O-lineman's back, and threw a horrific interception to Ernest Jones in the end zone. Fast forward to the fourth quarter. Raiders leading 16-3. Raiders hold the Rams on 3rd-and-3 from their own 32 to force a punt with 11 minutes to go. The Rams punted, but defensive end Cleveland Farrell, the 4th overall pick in the 2019 draft, jumped off sides to give the Rams a first down. The Rams took advantage of the gifted opportunity, converting 3 third downs and a 4th down on their way to a 17-play, 75-yard drive that took over 9 minutes off the clock. That kind of a drive down 2 scores in the 4th quarter would have made recently retired, no hyperbole frequent contributor David Shaw proud. 16-10 Raiders. The Rams kicked deep and the Raiders started at their own 25. After 2 runs by Josh Jacobs, they faced 3rd-and-1. They ran Jacobs again for no gain, taking it to the 2-minute warning. Raiders punter A.J. Cole pinned the Rams at their own 2-yard line with a minute 45 to go and no timeouts. After an initial first down gained by pass interference, Baker Mayfield was sacked for a 9-yard loss back to his own 13-yard line with a running clock with 1:20 to go. That's when Raiders defensive tackle Jerry Tillery knocked the ball out of Mayfield's hands and was flagged for unsportsmanlike conduct. Instead of 2nd-and-19 from the 13 with a snap likely near 1 minute, the Rams got a first down at the 28 with the clock stopped with 80 seconds left. Mayfield hit Van Jefferson from 23 yards out for the game-winning touchdown with 10 seconds to go, giving the Rams a 17-16 victory. It was the Raiders' 4th blown double-digit halftime lead in NFL record and came less than 4 weeks after the Raiders lost to Jeff Saturday in his coaching debut with a team he had been in the job for less than a week. That started the Survivor chaos, with 11 unlucky souls blowing their chance at $6.1 million. The field would shrink from 70 to 30 that week. Number 3, when the Saints go marching out. Let's go back 3 days in time for our 3rd entry on the countdown. Monday Night Football, Saints at Bucks. In an NFC South with every team below 500, this was a critical matchup. 4th quarter, Bucks punt to the Saints after a 3-and-out. Saints take over at their own 47 with under 7 minutes to go. On 2nd-and-8, Andy Dalton hit Mark Ingram in the right flat. Ingram could have easily picked up the first down. Instead, he ran out of bounds 1 yard shy of the sticks. There was speculation he was injured during the play, but he did return to action. The Saints threw an incomplete pass on 3rd-and-1 and then punted the ball for the Bucs' 44-yard line. Had Ingram dove forward and picked up the first down, the Saints at a minimum could have run the clock down to 3 minutes and 15 seconds or forced the Bucs to use all their timeouts, let alone they have gotten into field goal position. Instead, Tom Brady and the Bucs, who had done nothing offensively since a first quarter field goal, drove 91 yards on 10 plays to cut the lead to 16-10 with 3 minutes to go. After a 3-and-out by the Saints, Brady led the Bucs on an 11-play, 63-yard drive, hitting Rashad White with a 6-yard touchdown pass with 3 seconds left in the game to win 17-16. Had Ingram gained the first down, the Saints would have had a 98.7% chance to win the game. Instead of being in a three-wave tie for second in the division, they would have a one-game lead over the Bucks, Panthers, and Falcons. Number two, a New York state of time. In a game that saw the point spread bounce all over the place from Thursday on, the Lions took on the Jets at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey on Sunday, with both teams clinging to wildcard hopes. The Jets led 17-13 when the Lions got the ball back on their own 22 with under 5 minutes to go in the game. Coming out of the two-minute warning, the Lions faced fourth and less than a yard from their own 49. Jared Goff hit backup tight end Brock Wright, who ran 45 yards untouched into the end zone to give the Lions a 20-17 lead. The Jets got the ball back on their own 25 with a minute 49 to go and all three timeouts. Let's go through the sequence. Zach White is sacked for a 9-yard loss on first down. Jets do not use a timeout. Next snap at 1:26. On 3rd and 19, Zach Wilson hits Garrett Wilson for a 22-yard first down to the 38-yard line. Jets do not use a timeout. Next snap, 58 seconds. With 53 seconds to go on 2nd and 10, he hits Garrett Wilson again for 10 yards to the 48-yard line. Jets do not use a timeout. Next snap at 31 seconds. On 2nd and 10 with 24 seconds to go, Wilson is sacked again for an 8-yard loss, and the Jets finally use their first timeout with 19 seconds remaining. With 14 seconds to go on 4th and 18, Wilson hit Elijah Moore for 20 yards to the Lions' 40-yard line. The Jets used their second timeout with 1 second left before Greg the Leg Zuerlein missed a 58-yard field goal to tie the game. Immediately after the game, Jets head coach Robert Saleh was asked about not taking his timeouts. He said with three in his pocket, he still felt his team had time. On Monday, he clarified his statement, saying he had only slept 30 minutes the night before thinking about the situation, but steadfastly stood by the notion that you don't use any of the three timeouts until there's less than a minute to go in the game. He said he did make a mistake not calling timeout after the Garrett Wilson 10-yard reception on second down to the 48-yard line, but he thought they got a generous spot and he didn't want to give New York time to look at it. At that point, the plays don't really matter. Third and an inch or first and 10, you're down now to under 30 seconds left in the game. Mm-hmm. They blew a chance not only to tie the game, but to win the game and maybe their season as well. And finally, number one, collateral damage. I'm sure there was no doubt in the hearts of many that the ending of the Raiders-Patriots game would top the list this week. For those that didn't see it, the game was tied at 24 with 3 seconds remaining. Patriots faced third and 10 from their own 45. The Raiders were in a Hail Mary prevent defense. Mac Jones handed the ball off to Ramondre Stevenson, who ran 23 yards to the Raiders' 32 as the clock expired. About to be tackled, Stevens lateraled the ball toward the sideline to wide receiver Jacoby Myers. Myers took several steps backward and then attempted to lateral the ball back 15 yards across the center of the field to his unathletic quarterback, Mac Jones. Raiders defensive end Chandler Jones caught the pass from Myers, stiff-armed Mac Jones, and lumbered to the end zone for a Raiders 30-24 victory. It is indubitably the dumbest play in an NFL game I've ever seen.
Concur.
It is easy to put all the blame on Jacoby Myers for his boneheaded toss, but here at No Hyperbole, we go beyond the obvious. What of Ramondre Stevenson? He was told to run the ball for a few seconds and go down. He quickly fell on his sword, stating that if he didn't make the first lateral, Myers wouldn't have thrown the fateful one. Why were the Patriots even handing the ball off? If they didn't want to attempt a Hail Mary, why didn't Mac Jones take 2 steps back and kneel down? But why didn't they attempt a Hail Mary? What kind of a play call was this by Matt Patricia? And the big question, how in the hell is Matt Patricia still calling plays this late in the season? What would have prompted Bill Belichick to hire him back after his 13-29-1 run in Detroit with a team that Jim Caldwell had led to a 36-28 mark? And then tab Patricia to call plays after 16 years on the defensive side of the ball. Can anyone truly be surprised by these results?
There you go. Rapid fire. Well done. Good to have you back, Maestro.
Thank you. Thank you.
No hyperbole. All NFL edition. Great stuff over the last couple of weeks. Up next, we'll run down our in-pocket plays and these point spreads now all over the map this week in the NFL.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf-Bedeira. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to brand new on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.